This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
You've probably heard the phrase, it's all in your mind. Well, it may not all be in your mind, but an awful lot of it is in your mind. In fact, between your ears. And today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at the unseen battlefield for your soul that lies between your ears. Your mind, my friends. So often we try to turn spiritual battle into a terribly esoteric kind of a thing, that it's all out there and we're battling against demons and we're battling against spirits flying around us. And so actually it renders us largely, well, shall we say, irresponsible. That we don't have anything to do with this spiritual warfare out there, that all we do is just flail around and cast out a few magical spiritual terms, and that constitutes spiritual warfare. Well, today, I think we'll see that that isn't necessarily true, and it does not mean that there aren't battles out there. And indeed, there is an unseen world. We talked a lot about that yesterday here on this program. Asking the question, how subtle is Satan? Is he savvy enough to sit on the throne of your heart? Well, for many, it appears that he is. And it's because the battle is between our ears and we don't quite get it. In fact, if you were to think about it, you go back to the King James Bible, you will find that it talks frequently about the reins, R-E-I-N-S. You know what that means? It means your mind. Did you know that your mind was considered to be the reigning force of your life? That's why they use the word reins in the King James Version to translate that whole idea. But it's the battle in your mind. And today, as we're here on the near edge of a new year, 2014, we want to make sure that we are entering into the battles before us with full understanding as to the nature of the battle, the nature of the battlefield, and the nature of our enemy. Know yourself, they say, but another says, know your enemy and know him well. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan, the deceiver, the one who has set the whole world on edge and will ultimately be shown to be what he is, a total deceiver, the father of lies. And yet it seems so many of us are succumbing to it, even in the church. Today, we're going to, in the first segment of the program, the first two segments of the program, we're going to be talking about four different issues, not all of them in the church, but they might be. And we're also going to see how people's lives, whether it's our young people or even older folk, are moved by things going on in their minds that are making profound decisions, making radical life decisions, and confusing the Bible, confusing the theological truths of the Bible, even with regard to Christ himself. You know things have to be very confused because the latest statistics indicate that for millennials, that is those 30 and under, only 20% of those who claim to be Christian. Listen again, only 20% of those who claim to be Christian believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Only 20% of professing Christian young people 30 and under. Does that tell you that something dramatic has happened in our minds, in our thinking? You can say, well, the heart of the matter is the heart, but the heart and the mind work together. It's like two sides of the same coin. And that's why the scripture talks about the word of God being alive, sharp, powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword, capable of dividing between soul and spirit, and able to discern even the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't want to spend much time in the Bible these days. And yet there are some who are saying, oh, this is the year of the Bible. Well, it would be nice if this were the year of the Bible, so that the Bible itself would take preeminence in our minds and our hearts and our lives and our thinking between our ears. But the likelihood of that happening is slim to nil, because we are so far down the track of rebelling against its authority. In fact, in this great battle that seems to be taking place between our ears, it seems that we don't even realize that we're losing the battle, and maybe willfully. I'm glad that you joined us here on Viewpoint today, and it could be that you are involved in this battle. Most likely, in some way, maybe you don't even realize it yet, but maybe by the time our program is over today, you will. Maybe your children, your grandchildren, maybe those in your congregation, Pastor, maybe even in your own family. Because I tell you, the battle is raging. It's the unseen battlefield for your soul. So where do we start with these four different items, just to, by way of illustration? Maybe we should start with this one. A satanic group has unveiled designs this week, yesterday, for a 7-foot-tall statue of Satan. It wants to put at the Oklahoma State Capitol, where a Ten Commandments monument was placed in 2012. The New York-based Satanic Temple formally submitted its application to a panel that oversees the Capitol grounds there in Oklahoma, including an artist's rendering that depicts Satan as Baphomet, a goat-headed figure with horns, wings, and a long beard that's often used as a symbol of the occult. In the rendering, Satan is sitting in a pentagram-adorned throne with smiling children next to him. Oh, a throne. That's right. Sitting on the throne of your mind and heart. And you sit on his throne, and he sits on yours. The statue will also have a functional purpose as a chair where people of all ages may sit on the lap of Satan for inspiration and contemplation. You know where contemplation takes place, don't you? Between your ears. That's right. So what would it be like to sit on the lap of Satan for inspiration and contemplation? Quite frankly, whether they realize it or not, friends, you don't need a statue of Satan to sit on his lap or allow him to sit on the throne of your life or to contemplate and be inspired by his ideas, because the whole world is. Even many in our churches. We'll be back after this.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose his secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches, yet recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or order online. SaveUs.org. That's SaveUs.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
Well, it's an unseen world, that battlefield between your ears, quite frankly, but we see the manifestation of it everywhere, don't we? And it doesn't take a statue to be erected in front of your eyes that you can touch to confirm that you have conformed or essentially erected a statue of Satan in your own life. For instance, when we decide as professing Christians to follow the ways of the culture rather than the ways of Christ, we have, in effect, erected a statue of Satan in our own minds. We have erected a statue of Satan in our own hearts and lives, and worship him. To whom you obey, you have become a slave. And if we obey the ways of the world, we become a slave to it. And who is it that reigns over the world today? Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he rules in the minds and hearts of the children of disobedience. That is, those who disobedience to Christ, who don't obey what he says. Now, we could give a whole lot of illustrations here. We gave some yesterday that were very, very powerful. I urge you to go back to yesterday's program that you can listen to right here on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org, where you can listen to the program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. I urge you to tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, about it. Now, let us move on from the erection of a satanic statue, such as being proposed in Oklahoma at the Capitol grounds. Let's move on to the erection of another kind of barrier in our own minds and hearts, that in our young. This report comes from Healthland.time. Sexting in middle school means more sex for preteens and teens. Younger students are no different than their older peers when it comes to sexting, a new study reports. More high school students are sending and receiving sexually explicit text messages or photos, and that makes them more likely to engage in other types of sexual activity as well. Now researchers say the same trends are now coming down to younger students in middle school. A new study published in the Journal of Pediatrics found that a significant number of adolescents between ages 12 and 14 engage in sexting, and that these children are more likely to kiss, have oral sex, or sexual intercourse than their counterparts who did not send such explicit messages. This particular study surveyed 420 seventh grade students from five urban public middle schools in Rhode Island. The results revealed that 22% of the students engaged in sexting, with 17% sending text messages only and 5% sending both texts and explicit photos. More concerning, said the scientists, was that the sexting was associated with a higher likelihood of sexual behavior such as touching genitals, oral sex, and vaginal sex. Teens who sexted were 4 to 7 times more likely to also partake in sexual activities. What an amazing conclusion. I'm being a little sarcastic there. I don't think it would take a study to prove this. But then again, in this world in which we have established the lordship of science, it takes a poll or some study to tell us what is obvious. Students that admitted to sending pictures showed even higher rates of sexual activity. The sexting adolescents also reported that they felt family members and peers were more likely to approve of various sexual activities, and they admitted to higher rates of intending to engage in sexual acts than their non-sexting friends. Parents can discourage sexting by being more aware of what their preteens and teens are sharing and seeing on social media. Simply limiting the amount of time they spend on these sites or the number of texts that kids can send could be a useful first step. because one study found that teens who hypertext or send more than 120 text messages in a single day were more likely to have sex, do drugs, and drink alcohol. Now, what is this telling us? Why do I bring this up in the context of a program called Between Your Ears, the Unseen Battlefield for Your Soul? Because, friends, the matter of texting and sexting is a matter of the mind. It's not a matter of your fingers. Your fingers are obeying your mind. It's what the kids are thinking about. And what they think about, they do. And the more they repeat the thinking and translate it through their fingers in texting and sexting, the more likely they are to live out, to carry out the very things that are passing through their mind. Is this so hard to understand? And this is why the Bible tells us that we should take every one of our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Do you remember that? Paul talked about that. Take every one of your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Because the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but they're mighty through God to the casting down of strongholds. And when we allow these kinds of behaviors, when we give place to them and begin to translate them through our bodies and in our actions, because we've allowed them continually to have passage through our minds, we actually, in a practical way, a spiritual way, we are erecting a statue to Satan in our own hearts and lives. And that's exactly what our kids are doing. It's no wonder, friends, that only 20% of millennial Christians, that is those 30 years in age and under, believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And only 9% of them believe in anything like absolute truth. These things are not surprising. And one of the reasons why they're like that is because we have forgotten where the battlefield lies. The unseen battlefield for your soul and the souls of our kids and grandkids and our congregations and even our nation is between our ears. That's why Jesus said over and over again, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, what does that mean? Between your ears is your mind. If you really hear, not just entertain the sound, not just register the sound, but really hear, in other words, process into reality what God is saying, what Jesus was saying, what the apostles were saying, then your mind will become strong in the Lord and in the power of His Spirit. But if, indeed, it does not register, and it's just sound that enters in and passes through, we don't have ears to hear then. We can hear without hearing. We can see without seeing, you see. And so what's happening now is that we have disengaged our minds from our eyes and from our ears, and we no longer recognize that is the center of the battlefield. And then we wring our hands and whine and cry and bellyache about all the statistics, you see, that are just destroying, evidencing the destruction of our country, but are not really willing to wage the battle where the battle is. And in order to wage that battle, we have to tell the people the truth. The whole truth, and that is just too inconvenient. Now, let me give you an illustration. Those of you who are professing Catholics, please forgive me for having to do this, but this came today. Pope Francis recently urged the so-called faithful to understand reality by looking at it, as he said, from the periphery, in order to avoid what he called the fundamentalists or fundamentalism. Pope Francis met with 120 superiors general of men's religious orders at the Vatican in November. His comment came out in a Rome-based Jesuit weekly. And here is the quotation in this article. "This is really very important to me. The need to become acquainted with reality by experience. Become acquainted with the reality and life experiences of people. If this does not happen, then we run into the fundamentalists," which he said is not healthy. Now, let me explain to you what Pope Francis is saying, because he's not the only one. Mel Roebuck from Fuller Seminary said almost the same thing. There is a whole new movement within evangelicalism, within the mainline church, within the Roman Catholic Church, to shift from defining truth by the Word of God to defining truth by how I feel or by my experience. Friends, do you realize that that makes your mind Lord? Do you realize that that exalts you and your experience over the very Word of God? That makes you equal to God, my friend. And therefore, you are in cahoots with the arch enemy of your soul and the arch enemy of your Creator. Because that's exactly why Satan was cast out. He tried to make himself equal with God. These things may seem subtle on the surface, friends, but I tell you, this is the area. These are the things that actually are going to determine those who are ready to receive Jesus Christ when he returns and those who will receive the mark of the beast. Mark that word, friends. We are in dangerous times. Now, finally, we'll conclude with this particular item. In an interview, a recent interview with Marie Claire magazine, pop star Katy Perry, a former contemporary Christian artist, announced that she no longer believes in heaven or hell, nor professes to be a Christian. She said, "I don't believe in a heaven or a hell, or an old man sitting on the throne. She said, I believe in a higher power bigger than me, because that keeps me accountable. She said, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Christian, but I do have a deep connection with God. She said, I pray all the time for self-control and for humility, but she doesn't believe in God. Nor is she a Christian. Perry, an evangelical minister's daughter, was raised in California, was brought up to avoid secular music and television programs. She began singing as a contemporary Christian artist at age 15, released her first national album in 2001, and in an interview with CCM, that's Contemporary Christian Music Magazine, she stated that one of her musical influences was none other than Keith Green, who was known to be bold in his lyrical witness for Christ. So what happened? She lost the battle in her mind, friends. In 2007, Katy Perry signed with the secular label Capitol Records and released her first single called I Kissed a Girl, a number one hit that talks about experimentation with lesbianism. She became one of the most well-known pop artists in the secular music industry. Now, her father, she says that her parents don't agree with a lot of things that she does, but listen to the comment that her father made. He's a minister. He said, I love my daughter and I will always love her, so stop being judgmental and critical. He said, God has given us a platform to go in and meet people, and they like us because we're cool. We're not threatening. Oh, so the father himself, friends, has embraced the spirit of the world, thinking that this outrageous, unchristian behavior is somehow making it cool to be a Christian and to communicate the life of Christ. You've already lost the battle. And it's the battle, friends, between our ears. The unseen battle for your soul. Don't let it happen to you. Katy Perry said it was a process. And that's how it happens. We'll be back after this with Jack Graham. Well, I'm so glad that you have joined us. And indeed, today we are scheduled to have Pastor Jack Graham join us from Prestonwood Baptist Church there in Texas, outside of Dallas. And we hope that he'll be connecting with us shortly. But I want to urge you to give us an opportunity to continue to deal with the issues that matter most in our world. All over the world, people are listening to this program. We've received comments from people in Europe and down in the South Pacific and all over the world. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us in this venture. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Do it today, friends. God loves a cheerful giver. As we said yesterday, God wants you to be a kingdom conduit, not a kingdom reservoir. Stale water is not a pleasant thing. It begins to stink, and it's very hard to purify. Friends, you want the water of the Spirit to flow freely through you, and God loves a cheerful giver. So I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you will avail yourself of that opportunity. Go to our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org, and you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. By the way, Save America Ministries, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. That's what we do right here on Viewpoint. Because as you know, viewpoint always determines destiny. There are no neutral viewpoints. Your viewpoint concerning the things that we've been talking about here in the first half of the program today are not neutral. They're just not neutral. And to the extent that you embrace viewpoints that are inconsistent in whole or in part with what God has said in His Word, you are already losing the battle between your ears. It's the battle between your ears, the unseen battlefield for your soul. Jack Graham joining us from Texas. It's good to have you on board, friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're in Frisco, Texas. That's not a relative to San Francisco, is it?
No, it's a long, long way from San Francisco.
Well, I hope it's Frisco, a long way, Texas, spiritually, too.
Yeah, we're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
It's a Dallas church, and we're actually in the suburbs with three locations. And one is in Dallas, one is in Plano, and one is in Frisco. So,
well, are you in competition there with Chuck Swindoll, then?
Chuck has a church. It's called Stonebriar Church in Frisco, Texas. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He is right down the road from us. Great man.
Well, you quote in your book, Unseen, a statement made by C.S. Lewis that really caught my attention. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed either by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Wow. That's a battle, isn't
statement.
It?
Yeah, that's a great statement by Lewis, and it's so true, and it's what the Bible tells us about this spiritual battle, and that we're all involved in it, and certainly
mm-hmm.
as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus, we are engaged in a battle for life, a battle for souls, a battle for the future, and it's a battle that we win because we know Christ has given us victory, and He is the victor.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do as believers is learn how to win spiritual battles, and that's what this book, Unseen, is about.
Yeah.
It's about winning the battle for eternity, because ultimately the stakes are, you know, heaven and hell. The stakes are eternal stakes.
Well, exactly. And so this is a very serious business. And when there's a battle, there are victors and there are victims. There are winners and there are losers. And when you're in the battle, if you don't wage it according to God's plan, you actually make yourself a compatriot of His archenemy, don't you?
Absolutely. And I know your engagement, involvement in speaking the truth is important to our nation. And I was just listening to your program some as I was waiting to come on. And just the entire focus that we have now on fighting for the future of our families, the future of this country, beyond the political, cultural, social issues, there is this spiritual battle. I mean, we wrestle not, Paul says in Ephesians 5, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers in the dark places. So behind the scenes of all that we see going, what we watch on the evening news or reading on the Internet, behind the scenes is this eternal spiritual battle. And we, as followers of Jesus, need to wake up to this war. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, because too many Christians are AWOL. Too many Christians are just thinking, as someone said, you know, the Christian life's not a playground, it's a battleground. God didn't save us just to take us to heaven, but to take as many people with us as possible. And in the meantime, conquer ground to advance the kingdom of God in our own generation until Christ comes.
No question about it. Now, you talked about the culture wars. You talked about the things that we see out there. It seems to me, Jack, that we have really erred in many respects over the past 30 years, and our focus has been on the symptoms or the result of our failure to wage spiritual warfare from God's perspective. And so we actually have ended up losing ground rather than gaining ground. I remember about 5 years ago now, Dr. James Dobson, a longtime friend of mine, joined me on the air from the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we were just talking heart to heart, man to man. We've known each other for, I don't know, 35 years now, 40 years. And he said, Chuck, I have to admit, and it's very hard for me to admit, that we've accomplished almost nothing in the culture wars. I mean, when you look at the statistics, when you look at what's happened in our country, things have not improved. To use Ronald Reagan's expression, are things better as a result of the last 4 years? Answer, no, they're just not. And so, Pastor, how long have you been pastoring?
40 years plus.
All right. My father pastored for 50 years. I've been pastoring in various ways for about 35 years. And when you've been doing that, you begin to see the underbelly of the body. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, it does, in the sense that it can, you know, if you look at it in one way, it is discouraging in that we have given up ground. There are certain issues. I mean, you look at the issue of the sanctity of marriage, for example.
Well, Dallas is now 65% divorce rate.
Right. So it appears that we have lost the battle for marriage between a man and a woman. It appears that we have lost many of these issues. I'm thankful that there seems to be some recovery in the value, the sanctity of life. More and more people are waking up. But it's a constant ongoing vigilance. Is necessary. And but I, you know, I'm when you read your Bible, here's the bottom line. While there are battles that we lose and skirmishes and fights that we don't win, we have been promised that the victory is ours in Christ. And that's not just spiritual talk for when we get to heaven victory.
Right.
It also which is great. I mean, that's awesome. That's ultimate. But it does also mean that in life, if you are in the kingdom of God, you're part of a different family. You're going in a different direction. And the world and everything in it is blowing up and is going to end badly. But for believers and followers of Christ, it's going to all end well. I'm just started a series in the book of Revelation from the seven churches. And when you read that, series, you know, we're calling it To the Victors, because even though those churches were struggling in the midst of immorality and idolatry, Domitian was in control, killing Christians was a sport. Yet in the midst of that, Jesus said, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to
well,
him
that's,
who overcomes.
That's it, becoming an overcomer. And what is the secret, then, to overcoming? You're saying that this is an unseen battle, or the struggle out there is not what it appears to be on the surface. It is unseen. And you've got a chapter called Mind Matters, where Satan's attacks always begin. And it seems to me that if we're going to be successful, we need to know our enemy and we need to know the battleground. And it seems to me the unseen battlefield for our souls is between our ears.
So much it is. And who you think you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And this is where the battle ultimately is won or lost.
All
and
right.
It is in the mind. So the thought life. And so this book is about angels, it's about demons, it's about Satan, it's about God's power, it's about winning, it's about heaven, it's about hell, all of those subjects. Because, I begin to notice that there's a lot of superstition out there about these unseen or invisible, the
invisible
world. So, Hollywood's on it now. You've got vampire movies and the dark side and it's... but that's all superstition.
Exactly.
So you have a lot of Christians have kind of run from the idea of superstition and forgotten the supernatural. The supernatural exists. The spiritual is real, more real than the physical. Everything in this physical world ultimately is going up in smoke. But the spiritual world, and therefore we must engage in the spiritual world and live with and fight with spiritual weapons. Paul said, not with carnal or fleshly weapons, but spiritual, mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Exactly.
So in that sense, this book, Unseen, I tried to make it very practical. It's not out there somewhere in another world, but it's this world. And using the weaponry that God has given us, God's word and prayer and learning how to manage and control our thought life and having a, the biggest thing to me is living with an eternal perspective.
Exactly.
And that heaven would be the habit of our hearts, that we would not live for this world, but beyond that we would live for the world. And the people, there's a great quote also from C.S. Lewis from way back, that the people who do the most for this world are people who think most about the next world.
I like that.
So, so people who live in the beyond do the most for the right now.
All right, the number one weapon. We talk about the weapons of our warfare. The number one weapon, it seems to me, as disclosed by the Scripture, is the Scripture. It's the Word of God. No soldier would be without his sword, or he would be dead meat in the Roman days. Tell us a little bit about the sword of the Spirit. This is a weapon. It is both offensive and defensive.
Yes, it is. And, let's give the perfect example, and that's Jesus himself when he went to the wilderness, was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted with the devil. This was at the outset of his ministry after his baptism. Temptation often comes after high hours, high moments, great moments in our lives, spiritual mountaintops. It was true with Jesus. He came right from the dove when the dove descended at his baptism to the devil, driven by the Spirit. So how did Jesus overcome the devil and establish his authority over Satan there at the outset of his ministry? By the Word of God. He didn't pull rank on us.
Yeah.
He overcame the devil the same. He gave us the same tools.
Exactly.
So it wasn't as the Son of God that he pulled rank and he had power that we don't. He answered each temptation that came to him with the words, "It is written, it is
absolutely
written, it is written."
All right,
so
friends,
we have the Word of God.
That is a good point. As we go into this break, we're going to talk about how you can get a copy of the book Unseen. We'll be back in just a moment.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented. And it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
We're We're moving from information to transformation here on Viewpoint. God never commanded us to be informed, but rather to be transformed, and that by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the renewing of our minds. In the King James Version, those minds are called reins because we need to have them under control. That's the control mechanism, and that's because the battle between our ears is the battle where the unseen battlefield for our souls. Our special guest today, Jack Graham, the pastor of the Prestonwood Baptist Church there in Frisco, Texas. I want to make available his book, Unseen, to you, Angel, Satan, Heaven, Hell, and Winning the Battle for Eternity. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put this $20 hardbound book in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $4 for postage and handling. We also have it on our website, saveus.org. It can be seen, even though the book is unseen, it can be seen on our website, saveus.org. Now, there's no way you talk about angels, you talk about demons, you talk about becoming a conqueror, the battle gear, but there's only so much that we can talk about in the short time that we have, Pastor. And it seems to me that if our number one weapon is the Word of God, maybe that's where we should kind of focus. What do you think?
Always on the Word of God, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
All right. Then we have to take up the sword of the Spirit. A lot of people talk about the sword of the Spirit, and it's sort of a Christian euphemism, so to speak. But the reality is that in this day and age, it seems to me that there are relatively few Christians that actually take the Word of God at face value. We quibble with it just like Eve did in the garden.
And the first temptation, the first question that Satan gave to the woman of the garden is the same age-old question, has God said?
Absolutely.
And God puts Satan tries to put a question mark on the Word of God. And so as a pastor, as a preacher of the Bible, it's been my goal throughout these years to teach God's Word and to train people in the application of God's Word, because this is life. The Word of God is the power of God in us, and He's given us His Spirit to help us understand it, to know it, to apply it. And I don't know what some of these guys in some churches are talking about if they're not talking about what God's Word says.
Exactly.
There's no other message that we have, and it's been my practice through the years to just verse by verse, chapter by chapter, line by line, to help people understand the Word of God and then to teach themselves. And at our church, and one of the things I do in this book is try to really encourage people to learn how to get into God's Word and get the Word of God in each of our own minds.
Well, I like the way you laid this out.
One in the mind.
I like the way you laid this out here. You say you got to read it through, you've got to think it through, you got to write it down, you got to pray it in, and you got to live it out and then give it away.
Yep, that's the way I have been studying the Bible my whole life. Just you read it through, there are lots of reading plans for getting through the Bible. So read it through, don't just rush through like you're doing a sprint, but make your way through. It's a journey. Read it through, and when you find yourself reading it through, it'll read through you as well. But read it through, then think it clear, contemplate. I encourage people to have a notebook or mark their Bibles, underline their Bibles, mark verses, memorize them. Pray it in. Praying the Scripture is the way I pray. I mean, most of my praying is taking God's Word and praying it into my life, praying the promises. Certainly living it out, because we're not hearers only but doers of the Word, and then giving it away, what God has told us to do. So if you make the Word of God, instead of just being vaguely familiar with what's in the Bible, if you allow the Word of God to penetrate your mind and heart, it's sanctifying, which means it's purifying, cleansing, makes us more like Christ. I just love God's Word, and I can't get enough of it, and that's my goal, to help people do that as well.
Well, that is what we should all be seeking to do. I'm thinking back, and this may seem like a non sequitur, Pastor, but let me go back to the French Revolution. The French Revolution was based on liberty, equality, and fraternity. Had a similar sound to the American Revolution that had occurred before it, but it was based on opposite principles. The American Revolution was based on faith and family. The French Revolution was based on the demise of faith and family. In other words, it was totally anti-authority. Blood spilled in the streets, and it was called the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment, and nothing but darkness came from it and has been sweeping our nation and the world ever since. And it seems to me that we are in a period right now where that same spirit has been sweeping through even our evangelical churches, our seminaries, and that is exalting experience and our own thinking and the ways of the culture over the words of Christ. And therefore, we have a major authority crisis in our pews.
No question about that. And once we determine that we are above the Word of God, greater than God himself, I mean, pride, wasn't pride the original sin? I mean, mm-hmm. as Satan said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. So yeah. That's God's rule.
Yeah.
And so Satan's ways and methods and have not changed all that much. It's still his goal mm-hmm. to undermine the authority of God, the rule of God in the lives of human beings. And so we shouldn't be surprised that, you know, whether it's in the French Revolution or this current demise of the American culture,
yeah.
that we see Satan at work. But as Christians, you know, Paul said in Romans 12, and I opened this book by talking about a personal life experience when my own father was murdered. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, I had to make a decision. Am I going to shake my fist and curse the darkness, or am I going to spend the rest of my days lighting the light, lifting up the light of Christ,
mm-hmm.
Giving out the light of the gospel? You know, am I going to light a candle or curse the darkness? And so I made the decision of my own life that I would spend my life engaged in this spiritual battle
mm-hmm.
with the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, the power of the gospel. And I'm grateful that, you know, in the midst of great darkness, and we're seeing encroaching darkness in
yeah.
our own times, but we don't have to retreat.
Exactly.
We don't have to retreat. And I'm praying that God will revive pastors and church leaders and churches. And that revival typically begins as we get on our faces before God in prayer and renew our commitment to obeying God and his word.
All right. This is an issues-oriented program, and so we really dig deep into some of these areas. Our focus is primarily spiritual rather than just cultural, flailing, as you said, cursing the darkness out there, but looking at what God says about our situation and how to move from where we are to where God would have us to be. And it seems that we're in a situation where the very mandate of the culture itself tells us, even as pastors, it dictates to us that we got to tell the people what they want to hear.
Well, and again, that's not new either. I mean, when you read your Bible, you read about false prophets and people who wanted to, you know, in the last days, the scripture says people will come and they'd rather hear people who tickle their ears and
mm-hmm.
and their fancy rather than the Word yeah. of God. So not surprising.
All right, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
We have already laid the foundation that not only do we have, in fact, you yourself said we have an assault on the family and on marriage, but the Bible Belt, over the past 20 years, the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America has been 50% higher than the nation as a whole, such that six southern governors a few years ago actually declared a marital emergency, but the pastors didn't. Respond to that.
I would call that a tragedy, and because pastors and church leaders are failing to raise the standards, the holy standards of marriage in mm-hmm. their congregations. We all know that when I stand up and preach, I'm preaching to people who are at all different phases, stages of mm-hmm. life and,
exactly.
and temptation. And I'm preaching now to more divorced and formerly married people than ever
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
And I often tell our people, look, I mean, I love you. God's forgiveness is available. But at the same time, for the sake of our young people, for the sake of our families, let's raise the standards of God again. Let's mm-hmm. let's raise the holy standards of one man with one woman, as long as they both shall live, and that's God's ideal and that's mm-hmm. God's perfect plan for your life. So,
yeah.
you with compassion and but we can't give up. That's what I think I was trying to say early. In spite of the encroaching darkness,
right.
We must not retreat.
Exactly,
and we must not give in. To what has happened, but let's forge a new day for our families by the power of God.
If we fight by our feelings, we're going to lose. But if we fight by faith, we're going to be victorious, I think.
Yeah. What does the scripture say? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Exactly. Now, before you came on, we went through four different vignettes, different stories, talking about how this battle between our ears gets played out, won or lost. And one of those happens to be a report that came concerning the new Pope, Pope Francis, who came out in November and basically said, what we've got to do now, we've got to exalt experience as the primary authority in the church, because otherwise we'll become fundamentalists. The same words came out of a professor from Fuller Seminary. What do you make of that?
I call that compromise. And it is evidence that of a man, whether the professor in the seminary or the man who is called Pope, has accommodated. Look, you can look at culture through the lens of the Word of God, or you can look at the Word of God through the lens of culture. I choose to look at culture and what's happening in the world through the lens of God.
I like the way you put that. That was very, very simple and profound.
And so rather than accommodating and compromising Scripture we all want to be a part of change and compassion and reaching people and ministering God's grace and God's love. We want people to experience God. But what experience do you have apart from what God has revealed about himself and who he is and what he is like and how you can know him through his cross by his resurrection? So while this is personally experienced, it is based upon the fact and the truth of God's word. Otherwise, you have nothing but speculation.
All right, I want you to take maybe a minute and a half here, Jack, and speak to our listeners just heart to heart. Give them the old 1-2, so to speak. Cheer us up. Get us in fighting mode.
Well, because we have been given this victory, we now need to act like that we are victors rather than defeated, and we need to be engaged in this battle. And the way to be engaged as a follower of Jesus is first to know him, and then every day be prepared for the test, the challenges of life, and to win in the name and the power, the authority of Jesus Christ and his word. There's no need in us living with our heads down and fearful, mm-hmm. but we live with a faith and a confidence in God that one day the victory is ours for sure and forever.
Amen. Friends, the book Unseen, Angels, Satan, Heaven, Hell, and Winning the Battle for Eternity, Jack Graham, a $20 book, hardbound book, your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. We'll put it in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. And again, can I urge you to become a partner with us as day after day we're confronting the deepest issues that touch America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. Send your gift by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and let's be vigorous in the battle.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.